Where did your first love and passion come from?
So yeah, the dream is to start growing again, and I think we would use crowdfunding to sort of buy people into the business, because I think it's just great to see community support. Over the last 8 years, we've built a real great, strong community of people that support us through thick and thin. 30,000 was the aim.
Yeah.
Within 30 days, we achieved that within 4.
Wow.
So that was huge. That's grown and, yeah, I wouldn't say out of control, but it's kind of at a nice point now where it kind of, we don't have to chat about it too much.
This episode of All Things Business, the podcast, is brought to you by our digital media partner, DFA Law. DFA Law, providers of expert and dedicated legal advice to businesses and families since 1838. DFA Law, the law firm for life.
Joe.
How are you?
Welcome. I'm very good, thank you. Welcome to the podcast.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah? I'm here because you've taken the world by storm with this latest crowdfunding initiative, which I think is incredibly entrepreneurial. But before we come into that, I want to get to know Joe. We've met on a couple of occasions. Mm. So for the benefit of our audience, just introduce you and your business.
So Joe Buckley. I run the Tolly Marsh Arms in Harrington. Been there for 9 years now, which is crazy. It's been gone very fast. Obviously 2 years of COVID. So yeah, we scraped through that. And now, yeah, really excelling over the last few years.
You missed out founder of the Tolly Fest as well.
Oh yeah. Does that exist?
Yeah. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
You're very passionate about your food and the hospitality industry. Where did your first love and passion come from? Take us back then.
Super early. Yeah, I've wanted to be a chef since I was about 11. From family, you know, family were cookers. Spent a lot of time with grandma and mum who were home cooks.
Did they have a famous recipe?
No, not really. And they weren't like very good cooks, if I'm honest. And mum was quite open to that. Like, she put me off eating pork because it was always so chewy and dry, you know. It's like I had to go to college to learn to cook it. But yeah, and then it was adamant, you know. I watched things like Naked Chef, yeah. Gordon Ramsay Boiling Point had just kind of come into TV. And I think cookery programs then were a bit more easily to watch. And I think that was a huge passionate project for me.
And Philip, did you go to school locally?
Rushton, yeah.
And then when you left school?
College. I went to Northampton Booth Lane College, as it previously was. So when it was proper, like, it was made out of wooden pallets, I think, back then. But not as polished and shiny as what it was now. But it was an amazing place. Loved it. And previously, before I went to college, I was worked at Rushton Diamonds.
Diamonds Burgers.
Yeah. So I worked in...
What a shame that is. Every time you drive past that, it's almost like...
We were only talking about it this morning in the kitchen, trying to sort of like teach the guys what it used to be like.
And
it
was... Thierry Henry played there. I watched him play there.
Yeah. I see things like Stephen Henry would do snooker there. And Ronnie O'Sullivan. Sweet. Yeah. And I worked in Seasons Bistro in the kitchen there when I was 14.
Wow.
Did my work experience there when I was 13.
Yeah.
And then went to work in local pubs, so the Griffin in Higham. And that was pre going to college.
Ah, small world. So Ray Gilbert was my godfather.
Yeah. I knew Ray well, paid us well in cash, lovely man.
God bless him. He was best dressed landlord you'd ever find.
Yeah, really. And he was very, and I kind of picked up a lot from him. So he was a man of routine, you know, at quarter to 12 every day, he'd walk the dog.
Yeah.
You know, he was a real man for standards.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of stuck with me forever, really.
Oh, brilliant. That's lovely to hear. Yeah, top man, sorely missed. Mm. And then talk us through how the Tolly or the Tolly Marsh Arms came around.
So I'd done my sort of training in Northamptonshire, moved to Nottingham for 3 or 4 years and worked up there. So I worked in different restaurants from Sat Bains to local hotels and moved back. And then was headhunting to go and work at Red Lion East Haddon under Nick, who then became my business partner. So I'd worked with him at East Haddon for 6-7 years, and we've kind of been pretty successful. We turned the sort of pub into, I suppose, the go-to place.
In
2012, I suppose. 2012, yeah. And then it was kind of discussions of what's next, and I was running the pub, so I was general manager, and we just spoke about let's open our own place and going it together and almost reimagine what was making our life hard at the pub. So, and then try and create something that we would take our families and our kids and by this point we've both got
almost
kids.
Like a bit of a destination.
Yeah, but somewhere that you could go for every occasion. Like East Haddon was kind of had a reputation of being quite posh and it would be a sort of a celebratory place.
I never went to the Tolly Marsh Arms before you guys had it. I can't remember what it was before that.
Yeah, so obviously from the outside doesn't look much different, but from the inside it's completely different. So we did a lot of construction. So then we found the Tolly, and it was kind of all arrows sort of aligned. Like we started using Tom Warner at East Haddon, so we bought Tom's first bottle, which was crazy because now, you know, we're so close. But he bought in like this cloudy old bottle of gin, and it had bits in it, and he hadn't quite got it right, like this, you know, this sort of filtering. And he said, "Oh, my local pub's available." And we went and viewed it, and it was kind of marriage at first sight, you know, and it was beautiful, and but also really run down, a proper project. So we shut it for 4 months for refurbishment.
You managed to refurb it in 4 months?
Yeah.
It's a big old space as well.
Yeah, and we just worked on inside to start with, so we didn't touch any of outside.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was literally top to bottom, so floorboards all the way through were completely rotten. Yeah, at one point the building had moved, so they put bracing in to support the building from falling over, and yeah, it was a tough time.
Mate. And what was that one of the most challenging times for you?
I love that. I don't know. I never see challenges. I like them. I like grabbing hold of it, and I think they're the best bits. The last few years have probably been the best years for us in terms of making us think outside the box and find solutions. And yeah, I think the real sort of entrepreneurial people thrive in that little bit of sort of
city's opportunity.
Yeah. So we loved it, and it was kind of thinking, you know, we both weren't designers. You know, our job wasn't to make it look pretty. Our job was to make it functional. And we had the opportunity to sort of rethink the Tolly and to think about how it worked from a customer point of view, but also our point of view. And a lot of these old pubs are just backwards, and the way they work is a bit, dysfunctional. So we had that opportunity to rethink it all, which is nice.
And then the crowdfunding initiative, like this, which, as we were talking off camera, is actually not that uncommon in the industry, but it is certainly for locally or in Northamptonshire. So just talk us through that and who was the inspiration behind it.
So I think over the last, probably missed quite, over the last 8 years, we've built a real great, strong community of people that support us through thick and thin, and like through COVID supported us loads, like with terms of like, we did takeaways and that kind of stuff. And we really saw the support of community. So then when we've been looking at doing a refurb, and so we're 10 years in now to the pub, and it does get battered, but it's kind of a reimagination now of kind of, not just, you know, painting stuff, and we do that week in, week out anyway. So this is a kind of reimagination, was kind of, could we then get our community bought into it again? And with crowdfunding, you're just buying your experiences in advance. So it's not free money. It's not a GoFundMe. Yeah. You know, I'm not asking you to pay for my funeral. I'm asking you to kind of support the business in advance.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can go to the banks, and it's, but business support is a lot harder now with banks, and to get financing is a lot more tricky. So yeah, we've known Gary Usher, who runs a huge chain up in, not huge, just sort of 9 pubs and restaurants up in Chester, sort of North of England, Liverpool, Manchester. And I think any chef out there or anyone in the industry will know of him.
He's a huge
social presence of, I wouldn't say outspoken at all, but I'd say he's
well
vocal.
Respected.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And he's well trained and come from a great background of restaurants. But he's done it massively. So he's managed to crowdfund 8 restaurants now, 1 pub and an outside catering company. And it's just through basically just buying your dinners in advance, exactly the same as what we spoke about, you know, pre-buying your tickets for Saints.
I know.
You know, pre-buying your hotel ticket, pre-buying your flights.
And when you put it like that, it's almost like you get it straight away. And like I eat out a reasonable amount of time, probably with the family 2 or 3 times a month, with work maybe once a week. But I never pre-buy because it's probably a little bit more flexible or loose. But if you're going to the Saints, or I'm going to the Cobblers, or I'm going to the Dons, I'm buying my ticket in advance. So what's the difference? And it's a real good spin on it, really. Well, no, it's not a spin, but a real good alternative view on it.
But also for them, it de-risks their business.
Yeah.
So it's completely de-risking it. It's pre-financing it. And whereas the money then can then, in a restaurant, in a pub sense, can be reinvested in the building, can be reinvested in all these different things, and it just makes, you know, lots easier. And while costs are as tight as they are at the moment on the back end of the business, I think this is something that a lot of people are going to be using going forward. And
talk me through like that conversation when you were discussing like what the experience could be, because you've got, I mean, give me some examples actually of what the experiences are.
So we've got James Pett takeover, so doing Embers come into the Tolly, which is awesome. So we've created a new outside space which holds 90 odd people under a TP with its own bar, its own wood fired kitchen anyway. So James's style fits really well with that. Gary Usher from Sticky Walnut and all of his changes coming down to cook at the Tolly, which is he's never ever done, and so he's never cooked outside of.
When's he doing that?
November the something.
Probably yeah, should, in November. That's
yeah, it's in November. And then also we've got the Saints team coming to the Tolly, so you know we've got a great reputation with the Saints, and a lot of them well, and they're going to
be bringing a trophy with them.
Let's hope there's some silver, bring their own silverware. We could drink out of it.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
So the players are coming down. They're going to be serving and cooking. Ethan Waller's going to be doing a raffle, trying to raise money for Saints Foundation, and then also Tom Warren on the same night going to be doing a full gin tour and gin tasting. So that'll be a real lively night, and then we're going to be
putting.
When's
that?
That one is August the 5th.
Brilliant.
So that one is going to be a belter of a night. And then alongside each one, it'll be all-inclusive drinks, so matching wines to every course. We're putting on music on every night, on every chef night. We've got the ginger pig coming back out of retirement for the Saints one. So it'll be a proper like Auntie Ruth's kind
of. Yeah, yeah. Who remembers experience. Auntie Ruth's,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, yeah. So I've never been. I'm quite young, obviously.
Arthur, did you go to Auntie Ruth's? No. Auntie Ruth was a great place.
He's got Auntie. He's got a different Auntie. Auntie Karen. But yeah, there's loads of these things that Auntie now. Karen. And then also then you can then pre-buy your dinners. So we do dinners of 2, 4 or 6. We're doing the Tolly at home. So we come and do cook at your house for 10 people. And then we've got exclusive hire of sort of certain parts of the businesses.
Yeah, so there's a couple of local businesses that have bought an experience.
Yeah.
And they've bought that for, is it 50 people?
Yeah, so up to 50. And a lot of them are just our old, you know, our customers that have kind of either have a Christmas party with us anyway and are just booked to have a summer party. So that's great. And then other customers that kind of want us to go and cook for at their house for birthday parties or whatever reason, or just to support, you know. And then alongside that, everybody that does pledge will get their name on our wall. So we're putting a wall of fame in the bar. So everybody that will pledge will be able to see their name when they come in. That'll be super cool. So that'll be like, at the moment we're at 360 names.
Really?
Yeah, so that'd be cool.
So I'm conscious that when this goes, this is going to be a few days after that this goes out, but where are you target wise? What did you set out to achieve and where are you now?
30,000 was the aim.
What? Yeah.
Within 30 days. And we achieved that within 4.
Wow.
So that was huge. And then we kind of...
So on day one when it goes live, was there an element of... Were you a bit nervous in case it flopped? Like what could have gone wrong, for example?
I hate failing. So the thought of failing was terrible. But then it was kind of like we're sitting there because you literally have to press the button. It was weird. So we set the date and the time.
Because I love you. Your socials leading up to it, I thought were great. They were spot on. They're really good.
Because I had to physically press this button.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do it. What if it doesn't work? Like, I must have missed something or not done it right.
But did you have a good, because of the social stuff you've done leading up to it, was that a good barometer from feedback as people are asking you that it was going to go well? Or were you still sort of...
Everyone was saying the right things. But yeah. I think still personally, it was like, this is not looking great. I don't know. But then we'd got sort of like a pre-subscription so people could pre-sign up. And that was at about 250. And if they put in, say, 100 quid, we're not far off. We knew we'd got some customers that wanted some of the bigger pledges. I think it was kind of 50-50 in my opinion. But yeah, in the first, I think, 4 hours, we'd done $8,500, I think. So it was
How did you feel when that happened?
Yeah, I remember I was cooking. So I was working at the pub at the time and I was cooking and I got my laptop sort of like on my section and it was kind of, a bit crazy, but it was amazing.
It must have been a real proud moment. That.
Yeah, it was. And I think when we completed it, like, it was on a Monday, so we released it on a bank holiday, which is probably a bad idea in reflection, but the Monday went crazy, so I think we did something like 14 grand I think on that on the Monday, and it was I was with the kids and we were just
brilliant. That's great, mate. And I mean, like, what next then with that? Is that going to be something that you might do annually, quarterly?
I don't think we'd do another one for the Tolly. I think we would do it for future projects, so we are looking for a future pub or a future business
in Northamptonshire.
Yeah, so I think we love Northamptonshire. We've obviously, before COVID, we had 4 pubs, so we were a much bigger business and kind of slimmed down during COVID. And me and my business partner kind of bought each other out of certain sites. So yeah, the dream is to start growing again. And I think we would use crowdfunding to sort of buy people into the business because I think it's just great to see community support.
The community, that's the key word there, because you have created a community because Northamptonshire is actually blessed with many good pub restaurants. Mm. And I think we've got an array of talented chefs, of which obviously you're leading the way there. And you only have to look at the Food and Drink Awards every year to sort of see the talent that we've got. But I think you've got a great little community stroke fan base there at the Tolly. Tell us about the Tolly Fest then.
Yeah, that's grown and, yeah, I wouldn't say out of control, but it's kind of at a nice point now where it kind of, we don't have to shout about it too much. Yeah. It's just basically a beer festival. Now, I think every pub should have a beer festival.
Yeah.
I think it's something that as a youngster I live locally, I'd go to the Green Dragon or anything there. They had sort of beer festivals. And I suppose with the Tolly, I think we try and want to do a bit better than the average. And we're blessed, I suppose, with good field and a space. And over the years, it's just grown, you know, and we will get 3,000 most years, depending on the weather. Last year was a bit of a wet one. And that was the first time we've done it in the wet, actually, and it was a great barometer to see.
How many would turn out?
Rammed. Yeah. Like, we were more busy than ever.
People still go out in the wellies because they know what they're going to get.
And for us, it's great because we can support local businesses. So we support around 35, 36 local businesses from like street food. So we don't do any of the cooking. We bring in street food chefs. So you've got, say, Jody comes down from June Plum.
Yeah.
James is coming down. You know, Mario from Flavor Trailer. And these are all our friends. Like, it's just, it's, for us, it's a great, like, Sunday night when it's all finished is the best party. Like, it's, we just eat all the leftovers and drink all the dregs. But it's saying, and then it comes down to breweries and all that kind of stuff. We get to pick all our local breweries. Before, we used to make our own gin. So with Warners, we would make our own gins over Tolly Fest. Obviously, Warners has grown rather large now, so it kind of hasn't got just that facility anymore. But a lot of the first gins that they did, we would test at Tolly Fest. So like, we'd do the strawberry.
Before
we were the first
else.
Ones to do the raspberry.
Wow.
We did a coffee one at one point, which was great for like espresso martinis and things.
Because the spring to Warners would run at the bottom of your field, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And so what does Joe do downtime? When you do have a day off, which I bet it probably isn't as often as it should be, What does Joe like to do?
Eat out. I just love it.
Where's your go-to place?
Loads, honestly. It's like at the moment, I'd go to Ember. I'd go to the Wheat Chief in West Haddon.
Yeah.
I'd go to Jody's. In Northampton, there's so many. Like the Falcon at Castle Ashby. I think Russell's an unbelievable chef. I mean, what he does there is fantastic.
Yeah.
I would lean on a lot of all the awards and look at where's great. We just came back from the Orthorpe coaching in last week.
Yeah.
And they're doing some great stuff. Actually, we're on the border of Leicestershire, so we do sometimes dabble into that county, but that's got ever rubber teams. we're blessed, and or go to London. Like we've sometimes with like the networking that we've done previously and the awards that we've won on the bigger scale, our network is great. Like, we've got people all over the country.
So you were talking earlier. You've started your own podcast. Tell us about that. Because that's taking you all over.
Yeah, so we've released the Pub Life podcast, which comes out next month. And it's just us going to interview other landlords, really. So it's a bit similar to this. It's just a chat over a pint, really sort of cash, but getting to know the leaders of the industry.
Yeah.
To try and put something positive out there. I think there's a lot of industry podcasts on our side that I feel are sometimes a bit negative and talking about how tough it is and how hard the times are. But actually, there's some really inspirational people out there doing amazing things.
Yeah.
And what we want to do now is try and inspire the next generation to kind of see something positive and go, that's me, that's what I want to do. Because I think that's important right now.
And who's your sort of inspiration, either from a businessman angle in terms of where you want to drive and be, but also from a food perspective in terms of, right, the dishes that you want to try? Are there multiple people?
I think like the inspiration on the work ethic is completely different to like the food. Like, my dad was a real grinder. Like, would just see him grinding all the time. I think that's where my work ethic comes from. So like, days off and stuff, like, I don't really see that as, I'm not a fan of a day off. Like, yeah. I would generally work the first half of the morning, pack out the second half of meetings, and that's for me.
And that's a great
day off for me. And that's similar to that in my dad. And that was a real hard worker. The food sense now, it's so easy. Like, when I was a bit younger, you didn't have the social media stuff. It was really hard to see chefs and see what they were doing. But we follow, you know, I've worked all over sort of the country and with different chefs.
And will you sort of look what they're doing for inspiration and go, this is going to show my lack of food creative here, but I'm not going to try that with beetroot. I'm going to try that with lime or something.
Yeah. Just, I think just because to sort of see how it works. The beetroot and lime would be. Christ.
I told you that was just
classic. Cut that one out. Cut that
half.
But that's It's interesting because now it's so easy on socials to see the comparisons with what your pub is to see or what other another pub is. And like even what Gary Usher's doing, like he's got a pub, but he's obviously got a restaurant. So some of his dishes would work with us, some wouldn't.
But yeah.
And because we cook so much with the seasons and we're like micro local, so we have 12 food suppliers just for our kitchen on a daily basis. And that can be from like Johnny who picks our mushrooms literally 200 yards away to our bees that are in the village that, you know, that it's from for our honey, so it's super micro local, and that's exciting. You know, that's the best bit.
Is there one dish that you've created over those 9 years that you've gone, I've nailed that? It, either because you've created the recipe and then it's just been a flyer. Is there a standout one?
I think the Tolly's built on basics, like real basics of like just loving. I love cooking fish and chips, but like our biggest dish is our bourguignon pie, so it's you know, just shred it, it's really slow cooked marinated bourguignon beef, but we then make it into a pie, so it's a French classic that I would have done when I was training but made into a British classic that's something
you can
familiar.
Have any, you can have that any week of the year,
yeah, and we sell, you know, it's never come off the menu, and it will sell as many when it's 40 degrees in the summer when we do when it's minus, you know. It's the strange beauty of the English palate, isn't it? It's it's with strange people.
Joe, I found this fascinating, real good insight, and I think what you're doing there is you're leading the way for other entrepreneurial food operators and restaurateurs to hopefully look at what you're doing and lead the way in terms of how they can, you know, take inspiration of what you're doing.
That's what we hope. Like we've the last 3 or 4 years of whatever COVID was, it's given us real insight into the support that the community will give you, and it just be entrepreneurial, you know, be creative. And I think, you know, during COVID we set a drive-through in our car park because drive-throughs could open.
It's perfect.
But pubs
well.
Couldn't.
Yeah, but you've got the perfect car park for that as well.
But like but drive-throughs could open.
Yeah.
So we set up a drive-through, so then we could open.
It I was one of them.
Yeah. But we just had to be creative, right? And just think outside the box and be a bit different. And I think pubs are definitely doing that more now than they ever have.
Before I let you go, you've got a dinner party at the Tolly. 4 people as your guests of choice. Past or present, who are you picking?
Pierre Coffin, Orzin Rogers from Devonshire, seems pretty lively. I suppose a better invite Flo, I suppose, and my partner, and probably my kids, but they can stay off the list.
Not many people bring their kids.
No, I love having dinner with my kids, it's my favourite.
How many kids you got?
2 daughters.
How old?
10 and 8.
Oh, brilliant.
Should have been quicker on that, shouldn't I? No.
But that's great, and that, they love obviously part of the Tolly life.
Yeah. So they're born and bred literally in the pub. So we lived at the pub for like the last 5 years. They're probably not. Yeah, it's quite quick. But they've been there, their whole life, so they know it, love it. So when we win stuff and lose stuff, they're bought into it as well, which is great.
You don't lose, you learn. You don't win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But do you see maybe a? Oh, no, I know it's early to say, but do you see a? Maybe a path for them in the hospitality industry?
Both real hard working. You know, during COVID, they were, you know, we were doing school projects based around the pub, which was great. You know,
oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so they could down a pint and force it's straight arming. But no, it's just amazing to see sort of, you know, being around business and work ethic and that kind of stuff. I think it's something that should be brought in a bit earlier, maybe.
No, brilliant. Joe, I've really, really enjoyed this one. Pleasure. So thank you ever so much. And I will. I'm really looking forward to the Tolly Fest this year.
Yeah,
so I'll be there with the family. Cheers.
See you, mate.